What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Creating Daily. If this is your first time checking out the show, welcome. If you've been here before, then welcome back. You know what this show is all about, and it's about helping you as a creator level up your content, if that's through quality, quantity, monetization, all those fun things. We want to help you, podcaster, live streamer, whatever it is that you do in the content creation space. We want to inspire you to continue to push the record button, hit the go live button, write that song, write that album, whatever it looks like for you. And today I got a very special guest going to be joining me in just a few moments. I'm going to set this show up a little bit, then he's going to jump on. It's Richard Butler of RageWorks. He has RageWorks Podcast Network. He's been in the game for 15 years. That's right. You heard me. 15 years. So if you are curious about podcasting, if you have some questions, get them ready. I'm live on all kinds of platforms over here on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitch, on Twitter, all the places. And then also on Clubhouse, which has a chat to your left if you're over there, so you can say hello. Got a lot of awesome creators there as well. So John, Kai, Sandra, Raphael, what's up? Everybody in the audience, what's going on? Good to see you guys. And before we jump into it, just want to remind you quickly that if you are interested in the Shure MV7, the microphone I'm using, if you're watching this video, be sure to go get it right now. Go get it. Go to billythorpe.live over on Amazon and check that out. And let me just bring it up real quick. Since I prepared it, I did such a good job, and now I'm not doing a good job. I mean, I'm using it, but I brought this scene up. So you can go there. You can pre-order. I think it's still available for pre-order, and it releases in 4 days from now. So on the 15th, it'll actually release. So this is a limited edition microphone, and Shure was very kind and sent me this for me to help them promote, so that's what I'm doing. So head over to billythorpe.live. You'll see my latest live. Click on it, and you can make a purchase and join the limited edition Shure MV7 White Noir Club. And maybe, who knows, maybe we'll start a club about it where it's only if you have this microphone, you're invited to secret society type meetings and all that kind of fun stuff. But anyway, wanted to promote that since they sent it over. Really appreciate those guys doing that. So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to cut out all the other stuff that I typically do on the show, and I'm going to bring Richard on right now to talk about podcasting and what the industry looks like, what it looks like now, where we can expect it to go, and we're going to jump in and answer any podcasting questions that you have. So be sure to get those ready. And if you're in Clubhouse, hang out with us. I'll actually bring you up on the stage and put you through. Just know you are live to the rest of the world. So all 8 people watching this will really enjoy hearing your voice. But anyway, I'm going to shut up now. I'm going to jump over and introduce my friend Richard. Richard, what's going on, my man? How are you?
Hey, brother, how's it going? Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to come here and chop it up with you.
Yeah, man. Well, dude, you're a legend in this space. So, you know, heard a lot about you. We've shared a lot of Clubhouse rooms together, and I love your style. I love the drive, doing 400 podcast episodes that you've done, now building a network, and you've been in the game for, 15 plus years. So I'm excited to dive into that and take some of that knowledge and value and release it onto other people so they can start at your ceiling and not where you had to start by helping build this industry, literally. So appreciate all the stuff you're doing, man.
Yeah, just doing my best to leave the room better than when I entered it. That's all it's about.
What did your mom teach you that, or your dad? Who taught you that?
Just in general. I hear an echo on this Clubhouse thing, so I may have to.
Oh yeah, man! I bet you probably have to throw that thing underneath your underneath a pillow or something, because I think if you're on stage, it does that. You might have to dip out, or come back and dip into the audience. That way, people can follow you on there as well. So either way, if you want to. So man, let's get into it. First of all, and once again, if anybody has any questions, feel free to ask those. This is a Q&A session. I got a lot of cues, so I can start. But if you want to help out, drop them in the chat. If you have any podcast related questions. But before we get into it, man, give us a little bit of the background of your podcasting history, because it's pretty phenomenal. You've been doing it since, what, 2004? Is that right? Did I get the math right on that?
2006, actually.
Oh, 2006. My bad.
Yeah, I started podcasting, enjoying podcasting as a hobbyist. Originally, podcast debuted on iTunes at the time. And when it happened, I thought it was just such a cool experience that so many people were doing shows about different things. So I started going through finding shows relevant to interests I had, and I ended up coming across a show called Video Game News Radio. It was hosted by four fellas from Cleveland, Ohio, talking about video games. But what made it stand out for me was that it reminded me of like going to the barbershop and you're getting a cut and everybody's just talking shop about different things. And I really appreciated that because a lot of the stuff that was out for video games content wise was always super overproduced, super stylish. And while that has its place, I appreciated just the nuances of people just hanging out. So I started engaging with the podcast, started really enjoying it, and they noticed and they were like, hey, you know, we have Skype. If you have Skype, call in. We'd love to have you on. So I called in, and, you know, being from New York, you know, you have the New York accent. So they were fascinated by that. And I started engaging with their show. And after a couple of appearances, they're like, man, you know, you really should start your own podcast. And I'm like, nah, you know, I'm not going to do it. So one of their listeners, he started a podcast. He was in Canada, and he was like, Rich, man, you know, you want to call in and be a second mic, you know, just be New York and be on this Canadian podcast. I was like, all right, cool. So did that. And same thing happened. He was like, man, you really should do your own, man. I think you do really well. So I kind of just said, clearly the universe is telling me something. So I bought a Logitech USB headset and got Audacity and started recording the podcast, which I did, which was My Take Radio. And it was basically just my take on mixed martial arts and pro wrestling and video games and movies, just things I was into. So a lot of times, and we've seen this in Clubhouse and everywhere else, people are like, oh, what's your ideal listener? I'm like, my ideal listener back then was me. People that were like me, that liked all the same stuff, that were at that intersection of all of those interests. So I tailored my content to that. But back then, you couldn't really track it very well. It was hard to quantify. I mean, I was with Libsyn and they had metrics and it was cool, but I wasn't really like looking at it or trying to do anything. Then in 2009, like when I started to get burned out, Blog Talk Radio reached out to me. And they were like, hey, you know, we see you have a podcast. We'd love for you to check out our platform. You can run it just like a regular radio show. People can call in, all this stuff. So I did the trial on it, and I thought it was really innovative. So I contacted a good friend of mine. He was a moderator for MySpace, dating myself a little bit. And I said, listen, man, you're a mod. Do you want to screen calls for the podcast? He's like, yeah, man, sounds cool. So I started broadcasting from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. So I would start the podcast at 11 p.m., four segments, MMA, wrestling, video games, and movies. And I would do that, do the shows all the way to 2 a.m., and then start editing right after we finished the live show so I could release it as a podcast like within an hour or two. And then I'd go to bed usually 3:34, wake up at 7:30 to go to work at my day job. And I did that for, like I said, 400 plus episodes. And then along the way, I complicated my life. I added video. Huge shout out to Andrew Zarian from Matt Men, from the Matt Men podcast. He has a podcast network, and he was like, hey, man, you should come on and bring your show over and do video. So I started doing video and then live streaming it to YouTube and Facebook and all that stuff. And next thing you know, I'm editing audio, I'm editing video, and it was exhausting. So after I got married, my super supportive girlfriend, who was my super supportive wife, she was like, listen, you're burning yourself out. So I took the podcast and I split it over the course of 2 days. So Wednesday night, I would do MMA and wrestling, same time, 11 p.m., but it was like 90 minutes. And then Thursdays would be video games and entertainment, and same thing, 90 minutes. And that got a little easier. But as I approached that 400 episode mark, it stopped being fun. But a happy accident happened along the way, which was that people that were into the show, they, you know, you want to keep up with the Joneses, you need a website. So next thing you know, I had people writing. I started covering events of stuff that was relevant to the show, like Comic-Con and everything like that. So when I was approaching the end, a couple of the writers for the site, they were like, man, Rich, you know, we want to start a podcast. And I said, oh, you know, whatever you need, I'll help. So I taught them all how to podcast, but they weren't into babysitting the podcast, you know, getting it on iTunes, doing all of that. So I said, you know what? I have this legacy feed for this show. It's 400 episodes in. There's an ingrained audience. Let's rebrand the feed for a podcast network, and we'll use my show as the foundation, and then all of you guys can have your shows here. And they were like, oh, man, that's cool. And I said, listen, you know, just give me a couple of bucks to cover, like, the hosting. And I did all the editing, made them sound good, taught them mic technique, everything else. And that was the genesis of RageWorks. And the funny thing was that when I rebranded the My Take Radio website as RageWorks, I also created the RageWorks podcast network. Now, a lot of people, they look at it and they think that it's because, you know, I'm angry or whatever. But the funny thing about RageWorks that people don't get is that it's actually an acronym. And it's really, the acronym is Rants About Gaming, Entertainment, and the Works.
Oh, because that's all right.
What that's all about. So then when that happened, you know, I was like, it's also an acronym for the website. So it's like Rants and Reviews About Gaming, Entertainment, and the Works. And even now with the podcast network of the same name, the same acronym applies because we have a bunch of different shows that cover everything. And for those of you that are wondering where the works come in, back in the day when you'd order a pizza, you'd be like, let me get a pizza with the works. It's a pizza with everything on it. So we cover a little bit of everything. And the beauty of that was that people would want to launch their shows. And since I was editing and doing everything, they just focused on what's most important, which is the content. If you visit the RageWorks Podcast Network, you'll see a lot of our shows are in triple digit episodes because they've been with us from the very beginning. And that's because we took a lot of that heavy lifting that so many people that kill so many podcasts. Oh, I don't want to deal with iTunes. Oh, I don't want to deal with Spotify. You don't do that. We do that. And I'll edit it. I'll level it out. I'll make it sound nice. I'll teach them podcasting standards and practices. And like I said, everybody's been there since. Now, obviously, if you're a podcaster, you can't just quit cold turkey. So a buddy of mine was like, hey, man, I want to do a podcast about comic books. Let's do it. Okay, did that. And, you know, we did like 20-something episodes. And then he was like, hey, I don't know if I want to keep doing it. No problem. So then I said, I want to do something with a little less pressure. So I started doing a podcast called Toys and Tech of the Trade, which, again, ties back to all of my geeky habits. It basically is an interview series with entrepreneurs, content creators, et cetera, and just people that we're into who they share what tools and stuff they use to run their business, create content, et cetera. And then the toys element, for those that are wondering, isn't just like action figures or anything like that, but we look at toys in a broad sense. So if you collect knives or if you collect jet skis, those are your toys. So we do that to break up the business conversation and humanize the guests and find commonalities. And I've been doing that. I think we're almost on 70 episodes of that. So,
dang, man. So the experience, dude, that's what I love. That's why I, you know, want to bring you on the show, because I'm like, it's not just, hey, you know, because there's some podcasts that have been out there for a minute. They've been out there for a while, or maybe they've started some stuff, but you've worked all aspects, I should say, of the business. You've worked for yourself. You've done your own shows, but you've also managed these other people's shows. And I love that you are seeing those triple digit shows with your, you know, your clients, your friends, your customers, however you name those in your business, because you are serving them. And most podcasters don't get past episode number 7. So man, like, you've been in the game for 15 years. You've personally produced your personal show, over 400 something episodes, and then all your other projects and all your other clients and people on your network. When someone's going to launch a podcast, what is like one of the most valuable tips that you can give them, like, before they ever hit the record button? Like, from your experience, what would that be?
Find something that you're really passionate about that you can talk about ad nauseum. And I think that that's the biggest problem. People are like, oh, you know, I like to talk about cats. Okay, that's great. Can you talk about cats for 20 minutes? Can you talk about cats 20 minutes once a week? Can you talk about it 4 times a month? Can you talk about it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Can you build content around that? Because I think that's the biggest part that a lot of people kind of get caught up in. They're like, oh, I want to do a podcast about this. And it's like, yeah, that's great. But you don't necessarily have to be an expert, but you really have to be a passionate person about that particular topic. Don't just jump in for the sake of jumping in. Jump in because you give a damn about it. And if you're using a podcast I always tell people, look at podcasts as breadcrumbs to lead people back to your house, which is your website, your product, your service, whatever. Don't make it salesy. Don't make it a commercial. Make it human. And then, like anything else, people will want to follow you back. Like I will, I'll use you as an example. You know, you do the stuff on Amazon. Man, Billy's a cool dude. Hey, I'm doing this Amazon thing. Man, let me see what Billy's doing over there. You check it out. Next thing you know, you want to support Billy, help Billy out.
All right, man. I love that. I love that. And I'm definitely with you. That was one of the things when, you know, I was starting a show. It was like, and I started a couple shows where I wasn't really passionate about it. I was actually starting it for just networking purposes. And then I got into it. I'm like, man, I don't really want, I mean, it was cool. The people I met was cool. Whatever was cool. But I'm like, I don't really want to have these conversations anymore. I'm like, I'm done with this, you know? And so I did 25 episodes and I was out. And then I started a fishing show where it was like, dude, now we're on 120 something episodes and it's still fun. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I can, you know, I can't talk about the subject ad nauseum, but I am very curious about the subject ad nauseum. And I don't get, you know, I don't get bent out of shape when I'm like, oh man, I gotta go do another podcast episode. I'm like pretty excited to learn about the fishing world, the fishing industry. And I didn't really align myself up as the pro, but I aligned my show up to host the pros and let them come in and talk about, you know, the expertise and really educate myself and my audience. And so I 100% agree with you on that, dude. It's like you gotta, because it may be it, okay, so let me ask you this. So you've done 400 episodes plus. Do I need to be married to a podcast for that long? Like, is it okay to say I'm going to do a show and I get to episode 25 and I go, you know what? That feels good. That feels done. Like, how did you know when you got to 400 that okay, this is it. Like, I'm done. I'm done with this show. I'm moving on.
So one of the things was preparation. So obviously I'm covering four topics. I'm covering MMA. That means I had to watch every UFC fight I could, every MMA fight I could. If I was covering wrestling, I had to watch all the pay-per-views, all the weekly television. If I was talking about video games, I had to play as much of everything as possible, see as many movies as possible, etc. And the thing about it is that preparation is wonderful. But going back to what I said before, when the preparation becomes work, it stops. That passion kind of starts to dwindle. And then real life gets in the way. And I felt 400 was a good enough number because I had a lot of cool moments, a lot of accolades, a lot of awesome stuff that I could look back on and say, man, you know, I did that, or I was a part of that, or I created that. And the thing about it is when people come to me about starting a podcast, I tell them exactly that. Like, think of an end game. Like, not every podcast needs to be an episodic series until your passion is in the toilet. Like, maybe your podcast needs to be a 12 episode series or a 25 episode series, but you know what? Set the expectation for your audience that you can say, hey, I'm going to do an audio blog just talking about real world events, and we're going to do it for 25 episodes, and we hope you'll join us for this ride. When you set that expectation, people kind of know what's coming. And I think that's a very, very important thing that people lose sight of. I tell people all the time, how angry do you get when you're watching a sporting event and it gets preempted, and then the game returns in progress, you missed three or four innings, and you're like, what the hell, man? Or they preempt the game and you don't get to see it. Have that same respect for the people that are consuming your content, because at the end of the day, you're scratching an itch for them. Curiosity, entertainment, intrigue, whatever you're bringing to the table. So respect them enough that they know, hey, you're going to get 25 episodes, but you're going to get 25 of the best episodes. You're going to get 10 of the best episodes about what I love or what I'm into or what service I'm promoting. But be transparent and don't go in there and then turn it into a spiel halfway through and then your audience abandons you and then you get upset. And you know, people talk about it all the time, there's hundreds of thousands of podcasts, blah blah blah. Yeah, how many of them are still alive?
Yeah, man. I love that you brought that up, because I think this is what, when I talk to podcasters, and I don't really do that, you know, I don't really coach anybody, or you know, here's, you know, I'll answer questions on Clubhouse, or I'll answer questions to friends or family or whatever that's curious about podcasting. But one of the things I always hear them say is like, well, I would do a podcast about X, but it's so saturated. And I'm like, dude, it just burns me up, because I'm like, yeah, it's saturated with everyone else, but not with your voice, not with your expertise, not with your perspective. And so I don't care if there's 100 million podcasts, which there's not, but I don't care if there is, about, you know, whatever, like arm wrestling. Like, there's not a podcast about you talking about arm wrestling. And so, you know, I think for, you know, one of my tips for people who are listening to this, and you're thinking about this niche or this niche, or who your audience is, or what you're really passionate about, don't look on other people's paper to see what they're doing. Like, focus on your own paper. And there's a lot of fishing shows out there, but there's not one like mine and my co-host produce. There's a lot of shows about
not Billy's fishing show.
Yeah, not my fishing. Yeah, and same, you know, same with you, Richard. It's like there's a lot of I know a lot of shows about the MMA, about wrestling, about, you know, culture and all this stuff that's going on in sci-fi and games and video, you know, stuff like that. But it's like there's none with you, your personality, your perspective, and so I think if we're talking about beginning podcasting, like they, you know, people got to realize that, man. Like it's not always about how many something's out there. It's like, good, you know, you and I'll leave this thought and I'll see what you think about it, but if I'm going and I'm seeing there's a bunch of fishing podcasts, I'm actually encouraged because I'm like, cool, if they're doing it and they all got 100+ episodes, I'm like, somebody's listening to that show, so that means there's a market out there who wants to consume that type of content, and so it's actually encouraging versus, you know, underwater basket weaving where there's two podcasts with, you know, 10 episodes each and they were 5 years ago. You know, so it tells you a lot about the market.
Yep. The market makes the decision for you. I think that that's part of it. But the other part is that you should always be willing, ready, and able to fail at a moment's notice. And I say this because everybody has different measures of success. And the thing about it is that some people's measurements are money. Is my podcast making money? Is my podcast getting 10,000 downloads an episode? Is my podcast getting seen by X amount of people? Is my podcast creating opportunities? And the thing about it is, those are wonderful things, but those goalposts are goalposts that you're setting for yourself. Don't set them because it's what's expected of you. And I think that's what happens. People, yeah, they'll go, Rogan, they'll see Joe Rogan got this multi-million dollar deal. Oh, Joe Rogan could do it. I can do it. Joe Rogan did Fear Factor. He was a stand-up comedian. It's the iceberg goes very deep with Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan didn't just wake up and say, here, here's my successful podcast. On the contrary, going back to what I said before, you know what Joe Rogan did with his podcast? He created it for him because he was, yeah, curious about stuff. And he said, hey, I'm famous. I want to talk to people that are doing cool things, and I'm going to scratch that creative itch. And along the way, people can join me on this journey and enjoy the conversations, or they can't. And that's what people, like, they fail to forget. Like, unless you're coming off and you're saying, I'm an expert in this, like you just said before, you're tuning in because you want to hear that person's perspective on whatever it is that you're into.
Man, I love that you brought up Joe Rogan, because I hear this often in, you know, in podcasting world, like Joe Rogan. I want a podcast like Joe Rogan. I want a YouTube channel like Mr. Beast. And I go, cool, go do what they did to get what they have. And you don't have, you haven't done the work yet. That you didn't see the 15 years of overnight success, you know, that they put into it. You know, even with my show, like I monetized the podcast at episode number 5. Like that was a goal. However, I didn't even realize that that was a thing until I did two other podcasts before the third podcast. And so, you know, and it looks good, and that's part of my highlight reel to go, yeah, I monetized the show, 10 grand for, you know, whatever, first, you know, sponsor. But they didn't see the late nights, the borrowed gear, the, you know, literal tears and of loss of a friendship that was sacrificed to be the kind of creator I wanted to be, to do whatever. And so, man, I love that you're on that same page of like, you can't just look at someone else's highlight reel and then get down on yourself. And that was the same thing when it came to monetization for me. I read those same articles everyone else reads. They go, yeah, you got to have 10,000 downloads per episode. And I went, huh, that ain't going to work because I know my market. It ain't that big. There's no way that's going to happen. I've already done a fishing show once and built it, sold it, and now I have another one. So I got to figure out a different conversation, a different way to do it. And so, you know, I had to take that metric and figure out how do I achieve that metric outside of the rules of the game and throw mud against the wall that no one else was throwing mud against. And so be you, show up. I mean, I love what you're saying, man. So, okay. So we talk about, you know, get a topic that you're super passionate about. You've co-hosted some shows, you've done some solo gigs. Let's talk about that for a minute, because I think this is a huge decision that could either like sink or float your boat when it comes to podcasting. Co-host, no co-host. If so, how do I vet? How do I recruit one?
So, funny story, and I'll throw this in there. So, all of this work that I did, I almost destroyed it all after a chance encounter with Gary Vaynerchuk, and that's a conversation we'll dig into momentarily. But the thing about it was that when you look at what you do, whether it's your website, your podcast, whatever, no one is going to ride or die or be as passionate as you. I'm sorry to say it. That's what kills a lot of shows. You start the show, you bring in a co-host. The co-host enjoys the show, loves being a part of the show. But if the show went away tomorrow, the co-host may not give a damn. It's not the same. There's not that same level of investment. Now, if somebody starts it with someone together at the same time and there's that sweat equity and there's that investment, you get a different animal. So when it comes to host and co-host, ask yourself, do I work better bouncing off of someone else? Like if you're the funny friend or you're the friend that, you know, is the center of attention accidentally, not seeking to be the center of attention, then you may operate very well on your own. But if you play off of a room, a crowd, whatever it is, then you might need a second mic. Not only that, but if you feel that you're a droner, that you drone on about stuff and you need somebody to rein you in, again, a second mic is clutch. But you always have to remember that if the person wasn't with you on the ground floor, they're not going to care as much as you do, because their job is to come there and bounce off of you, be a part of the conversation with you, and that's it. The heavy lifting still falls on you, the owner or the primary host.
Yeah, man. I 100% agree, dude. And I kind of learned that. I kind of learned that the hard way with my first show. And it literally was like, I had the idea, I had the concept for this show, and I met with somebody that was a friend of mine about a different project. And man, I just got overzealous and invited him to be a part of the party, and it literally ended up of him almost punching me in the face at his. I mean, dude, it was brutal, dude. Like, it was a lot of fun. It grew really fast, but we didn't have those preliminary conversations, those expectation meetings. We didn't have anything on paper, and it was literally just like, I was so inspired. I was running so fast. I was probably treating my friend like crap. He didn't understand because he's like, dude, I just thought we were like going to sit in front of your computer and talk about fishing. Like, I didn't know you wanted to start a TV network, like, or whatever I had in my brain. And so, dude,
expectations, 100%.
Yeah, dude, it's 100%, man. So when we're talking about that, what are some of the things you talk about with a co-host or maybe even somebody that's wants to put a podcast on your network? What are some of those, you know, key things that you make sure, like, we're not missing this in conversation?
So I'll break this answer into two answers. When talking with a co-host, like I said, you want to find someone you have good chemistry with. You don't just, you know, swipe right and here's your co-host. You have to kind of be in the communities, be in the places where people are interested in what you're podcasting about to begin with. Secondly, if there's somebody you interact with, you engage with, you think they're a stand-up person, you like their vibe, again, chemistry. You reach out, hey, I'm thinking of doing this. I really think we work well together. Would love the opportunity to do a podcast together. The best thing you can do is do the minimal effective dose. Be like, listen, you know, let's try and do 3 episodes together. See how it goes. If you like it, would love for you to stay on board and we could make something, make a run at it. If not, cool. I'll just keep at it. And when you do that and you give people that opportunity where they're not under this immense pressure, where they're not sending a representative to do the podcast with you, and they're still being the same authentic person that you connected with, that speaks volumes of the quality of content you're going to get. Because if you got somebody that you BS with and you hang out with and you guys talk about all kinds of stuff and nothing is taboo, whether it's political ideologies, personal ideologies, whatever, it's all fair game, then that's the person you want to have that conversation that can rein you in or make you aware of your own crap, because you need that, because that's what's going to lead to a good show. Like Robin Quivers and Howard Stern, they've been together for so long because there's a chemistry there. They know each other. They understood each other. There was a great dynamic that was between them. And you see that in many duos. And then you see sometimes that many duos, they burn out and they stop being friends because they reach a point where ideologies, methodologies, and thought processes change. People evolve. What you would thought was funny 10 years ago, that person, that co-host, may be offended now. And you have to respect that.
Yeah, it's good, man. I love the testing, kind of like, hey, let's do some trial shows together. Let's fill each other out. Because, you know, that was one of the mistakes I made, man. It's like, I was just all in. I'm like, yeah, you're all in. I'm all in. We're 50-50. Like, let's go. And then, you know, we didn't know what we were doing. First of all, we were kind of learning the game. Started out as a live show. And then, like I said, it turned into a disaster. But now, looking back on it, I'm like, man, this does take a lot of energy. Takes a lot of work. Takes a lot of passion. Takes a lot of courage to step out and create a podcast, to put your voice out there. And it's intimidating as is. So yeah, man, protect it, protect yourself, protect your friendships, you know, all that kind of fun stuff. So, man, appreciate you bringing that point up. That's a good thing. It's a little long game to say, hey, let's test it out or whatever, because I mean, and how do you have those hard conversations? Because it might be like, hey, your co-host comes on, or your potential co-host, and they're like, yeah, dude, we're slaying it, we're crushing it, and they're having fun. And you're like, this is not what I want to create. Like, how do you skirt that?
So, you know, when I was doing the comic podcast with my really good friend, we were just running on all cylinders. And he came to me one day, he goes, man, you know, like, I'm just not into the books anymore. I'm not into the Marvel stuff as I was, because whatever. Again, things change. People evolve. And he goes, you know, and that's kind of bringing down my energy for the podcast. And he goes, I don't want to come in and go through the motions, because people are going to pick up on that. So I think we should hang it up. And I said, cool. Because that right there is the worst part. Not realizing when it's time to just wrap it. It happens to TV shows just like it can happen to podcasts. You could be 20 episodes deep and you could just be sitting there editing one night and go, man, this sounds like crap. Or I can't stand being around this person, or whatever it is. And you need to own that, because, again, setting expectations. And then you go and you go, listen, you know, I was editing the show and I just, like, the vibe isn't there, man. You know, I think we might want to just, you know, wrap this one up. And based off of that, you could say, hey, you know, let's start winding down the episodes. Let's make an announcement. Let's do this. Let's do something cool and close it out. And that's it. That's really it. People sometimes they get paralysis analysis because they don't know how to rip the Band-Aid off. It's like, listen, if you did 25 episodes and you had 20 of them that were bangers and the last five were crap, then accept the fact that it's just not working. Have that conversation and move on. Save your friendship, because you can always make another podcast.
Yeah, man. Loved it. Love this content, Richard. Love this conversation that we're having. And I do want to make sure people that are watching the live stream or they're over here on Clubhouse, if you guys have questions, if you're on Clubhouse, feel free to raise your hand, come up. Know we are multi-streaming to other platforms, or leave your question in the chat and I can read it from there. Or if, same thing for all the video stuff, just leave in the chat. It'll come through. I believe it'll come through. I got to check. Some of the stuff hasn't been coming through because technology hates me sometimes. But Richard, so we've kind of talked a little bit about everything. You know, I was hoping some more people would be interactive and engaged and ask some questions, but I guess if they're not, we're doing a great job at providing good value. That's how I'll look at it. So you've done 400 shows. I keep, dude, this blows my mind. Like, I know I've done 120 shows with one show, and I'm like, it's a ton of work. It's a ton of energy. And you've done this for 15 years. So what is one of the biggest things that you've seen change in the podcast industry from your first day to now? Like, I'm curious, because I've only been around for a few years.
The explanation of what a podcast is. When I used to say I do a podcast, people would be like, what is that? Is it on an iPod? And that was like the easiest thing. So I used to just say it's internet radio, because people just didn't understand. Like, now podcast is a part of modern day conversation. So everyone, for better or worse, knows what a podcast is. So number one, the definition of it. The second thing is the acceptance of it. I remember doing my show and I'd reach out to publicists for actors or actresses or personalities I wanted to have on the podcast. And I'd be like, oh, I'm on a podcast. And they'd be like, so not the radio. I'm like, no, just a podcast. And that was the end of that. So now you say you're on a podcast or you have a podcast. Now it's not that turning up of the nose, like, ah, this is an inferior medium. On the contrary, you know, Mark Maron spoke to Barack Obama in his garage, people. in his garage.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Spoke to the president of the United States. His explanation and him walking us through that when he was sharing how it was, like the Secret Service, like on with snipers on his neighbor's house and all that. Like, it's amazing because, again, scratching an itch. This guy had a podcast in his garage, and the president of the United States sat down for a conversation with him. You couldn't even imagine that 10 years ago. So with that said, it's like I tell people, only look at podcasting as, like I said, breadcrumbs to something else. If you're into, like you said, underwater basket weaving, then make that the best damn underwater basket weaving podcast that you can have. And if there's other people that are out there, they're going to be like, man, I didn't know that person was into that. Let me check it out. Build that community, even if that community doesn't exist, because then you become that's your tribe. Those are your, it's easier to get $100 from 100 people you know than try and get it from 1,000 people you don't. That simple.
True. Yeah. Yeah, man. I think that's one. I love that you share that garage story, dude. That's so funny. Cause I often think about podcasting and like how many people I've met and the types of people I've met and the types of people I've talked to. I'm like, dude, it's so silly that this is this door that just kind of opens and lets you meet people and opens different, you know, universes for you just because you have a platform and it's a very powerful platform. So, you know, use it to your benefit, leverage this thing, like if you haven't started a podcast and you want one, you want to meet people, it's a great networking tool. No one says no to, there's people who say no to podcasts, but I haven't had anybody tell me like, no, I don't want to be on your show. So
no, nope. I've only had it once many, many years ago. I went to New York Comic Con and I was, you know, a huge wrestling fan. So, you know, I was like, oh man, there was a wrestler. His name was Raven. He was in ECW. He was in WWF. He was all over the place. Raven is like people that know wrestling know who he is. So I walked up and I said, you know, let me do the right thing and first support what he's doing. So I bought an autograph and I took a photo and I said, hey, Raven, you know, I'm a big fan, loved your work in ECW, would love a chance to have you on the podcast and blah, 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 blah. And he was like, podcast. He goes, yeah, I don't do those. So I was like, damn, that's okay. No, he was just like, I don't do those. I don't do the podcast thing. I'm like, all right, no problem. But he's like, but thanks, man. You know, let's take a photo. And we took the photo, whatever. And I was bummed, but this is how I looked at it. You know, he didn't want to do the medium and it is what it is. And at the end of the day, going back to the other thing, I didn't take it personally because I'm sure, like anything else, business. What am I going to get from this? Am I going to get new wrestling fans? Are people going to check out what I'm doing? Am I going to is this host going to ask me the same 10 questions a bunch of other hosts ask? And these are the things you have to take into consideration when you're doing a show. Like, part of it is, yes, you're bringing value, education, and entertainment, you know, but the other part of it is like, be yourself, you know, just don't absorb and don't do accidental absorption, which is, You want to do a podcast. I'll use Billy as an example. You want to do a podcast about fishing. You listen to every fishing podcast there is. And then all of a sudden, you're a mishmash of all of those podcasts because you took everything that worked for them and you poured it into yourself, but it's not you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not you. It's a combination of Billy, some Bob's fishing tales and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, it's like, it's not you. It's not you. It's like people go to horse races and they cheer the horses and it's like it's the jockey that's getting the horse there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's who you got to believe in. Like, yeah, the podcast is great, but it's the person that's there. Like, that's why I called my podcast My Take Radio. It's like, listen, I'm not an expert on a damn thing. It's my take on the stuff I'm into. You either agree or you don't. That was it.
Love it, man. Loved it. I love that. So man, we had a question come in, and it's the number one question that everyone always asks. Well, number two, maybe one or two, but it's from Jay Macon over here on Clubhouse. He says, when you already established your podcast, how do you monetize it? This might be a whole nother show episode.
So here's the money question. I'm going to tell people this. It's a marathon, not a sprint. So first thing you're going to do and it's the easiest. And Billy, you'll have a chuckle about this. Look at what you're doing a podcast about. You're doing a podcast about movies, right? Let's say first thing you do, go to Amazon, sign up for an affiliate account. Oh, we're talking about They Live, Die Hard, and the X-Men in this episode. Those three films better be have Amazon affiliate links. That's number one. You go, you sign up for an affiliate account. It's free. It's easy. You talk about those movies. You highlight those words. You link to those films. People buy the stuff. You get a commission. It's not going to pay your rent, but it's a start. If you're going to talk about something that's a niche that's local, maybe you go to, let's say you want to talk about baking. Go to your local bakery. Be like, listen, I'm doing this podcast about baking techniques. I'd love to you know, promote you guys. You know, what do you guys think about having some ads on the podcast? At first, they may be like, why are we going to promote on your podcast? And you say, well, because a podcast is evergreen, which means that the person that listens to it today may not be the same person that listens to it a year from now. So your story, your message, your voice, your product, your service will always be new to someone. Then you go and you say, listen, I want to promote it. What can we do? You can give them a flat rate, whatever you feel comfortable with. Or you can say, hey, you know, maybe give us a promo code and then you guys can track it. Find ways. Not everything needs to be dead presidents. Meaning, like, yeah, getting money for everything is good, but sometimes you might need to, hey, I'll promote your product. You help me edit my show. Hey, you promote my podcast. I'll have you on once a month for an episode or two. Find ways to do that. You know, do Buy Me a Coffee, do Patreon. But again, do it because you want to use that to give people value. Like, Patreon is a good one. Like, hey, I want to have a Patreon. Okay, what are you giving your fans? All right, they'll get a free sticker. All right, everybody wants stickers, right? Oh, they get a free t-shirt. No. What are you giving them of value? Hey, they get free one-to-ones, or I'll review their business, or I'll review their business plan. Whatever your niche is, give them something that incentivizes them by giving them access to you. Again, the motivator, the driver, the selling point is you. If you're a podcaster doing a podcast about podcasting, which is so terrible, but it's funny. Listen, hey, I'll listen to your show and I'll give you some pointers. I'll check out your 30-minute podcast for free. I usually charge X. Then people will be like, oh, that's awesome, man. You know, let me support this guy. Oh, you know, I'm going to launch a podcast. Do you mind giving me 30 minutes? Sure. And that's what I mean. Like, not people want money. And dude, we all love it. We all love money. Anybody who says they don't, listen, money, you know, it's like everybody's like, oh, more money, more problems. More money sometimes gets rid of a lot of problems. It creates other problems, but it gets rid of some that are clearly a pain in the behind. So yeah. With that monetization, look at that. The other thing is just affiliate programs. Go to companies you love. Hey, do you guys have an affiliate program? I love your stuff. Listen, before Billy and I went live, this Liquid Death Water. I remember there was a company called Podcorn that does podcast advertising, and they sent me a thing for Liquid Death Water. And I was like, man, I should reach out to them. I'm like, ah, this looks stupid. I ended up getting a can of water on a whim, and I was like, wow, this water is really good. I literally was like Sam Jackson in Pulp Fiction. This is some tasty water. And when I went back to Podcorn to look for the Liquid Death ad, it wasn't there anymore. So I was like, damn, that's a missed opportunity. Go to the products you love. Go to the stuff that you're unapologetically into and say, listen, do you guys have an affiliate program? Do you guys have a promo code? Can I do a giveaway? I'd love to work with you on a giveaway and give something away. Again, don't just lean into dead presidents. Lean into opportunities. Hey, you know, I talk about your product. Oh, we'd love to fly you out to check this out. You know, there's a good friend of mine. His name is Josie's Boy. He's an artist. He makes handcrafted leather goods. He had a podcast on our network. He retired his podcast. He's an artist by trade. Now he does leather goods. And he said, I was creating content around leather goods. A company reached out to me. They said, hey, we'd love for you to come to our headquarters and film you doing leather work. No money was exchanged that I know of, but it was an experience. It was something that you never could have done. And that's the whole point. Like, everybody wants to know money, money, money. Money's awesome. Don't misunderstand. And it'll, and you'll get it. But it can't be the motivator to do your podcast, because if you're doing it under the guise that I'm going to make seven figures, it is going to fail. Because you're not 10 toes in. You're not mutually invested. It's a means to an end for you, and you don't give a damn about it.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you 100%. I am the person who loves to see people monetize. It's actually what I help people do on, you know, not all the time now because I'm doing other stuff. And that's the one thing I always say, because I chased, and I get a long story about this. I'm not going to share it, but probably up to about a year ago, man, I would just like chase the dollar. Like wherever the dollar is going, that's where Billy was. Like you could just find it everywhere in my life, but never really did much like successfully financially that way. And then when I really just leaned into who I was, like after 2020 came, trashed a business that I had for, you know, for almost a decade. And then, you know, I really said like, oh, I want to create content, and I'm just going to create content because I want to help people, like, period. That's it. I just want to create content because I want to help people. And then that was when I launched a fishing show, very similar, went out, got sponsorship super early, but had a vision for it, had a reason why, had the, you know, the motives were there, all that kind of fun stuff. And so, man, I agree with you 100%. It's like, go out there, create what you want. Now plan to monetize though, because here's the thing, man. A lot of people will just be like, well, I'm not going to plan anything. I'm going to push record on my mic and, you know, the stars are going to align and somebody's going to call me from the Oprah show, want me to come on. I'm like, that is not going to happen. Like, that's not, so, no one's calling you to sponsor your show. I promise you. I've been doing this for a long time. Nobody's doing that unless you're huge.
To add to what Billy's saying, look at what I like to call subtle money. Like I said, if you're doing a podcast, it don't cost nothing to sign up for Amazon affiliate account. You shop at B&H, don't cost nothing. You talk about gadgets, link to the gadgets. It literally takes a second to put a link in your show notes. Learn a little SEO. Watch some YouTube so that your stuff can be found. Write show notes. Write them and have them on an actual website that people can find. People like, I don't need a website. You do. You do. Because that's your home base. That's your house. When Instagram, if Instagram folds tomorrow, Twitter folds tomorrow, Facebook folds tomorrow, your website will still be there. You know what else be there? Email. Make a dinky newsletter once a week. Send it out. Give some advice. Give something actionable. Give somebody a discount code for something you're promoting. Make it that it's worth their while, because people still open email.
Yeah, man.
You know?
That's good.
That's it.
Well, man, this has been a great conversation, Richard. And I love, we should definitely dive into the monetization. I haven't talked about that in a long time, because I'm under the belief that you should stack these things, all these things, right? Like personal product, like digital, physical, you know, affiliate relationships, sponsor relationships. I stack all of them. I make money from every different kind of stream of revenue you possibly can, because what happens is when you have two sponsors last week, for me, not one, but two, call you and say, hey, one, we're pulling our sponsorship. The other one's like, we don't know what our business is doing. We just can't pay you. Sorry. It's like, oh, that sucked. But it didn't hurt as bad as it would have if it would just been those one stream of revenue of sponsorships. But I diversified. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm making enough money over here on, you know, Amazon, Amazon Live, Amazon affiliate program, whatever. Like, I'm fine. Like, it's cool. And I'll just replace those, you know, sponsors when I can. And, you know, luckily we were able to do that fairly quickly, but that is part of this whole thing is like, and one thing I want to mention about monetization is work. It's like, dude, it's work. Like you know, like going to get a sponsor is not, oh man, you know, nobody cares about your podcast, dude. It's like, what are they getting from it? What value are you bringing their business? What value are you bringing them as a sponsor, as a business? And it's really learning how to position yourself to be valuable, because you are. You just have to discover what that is, and you're valuable even if you don't have 10,000 downloads per episode, all that kind of fun stuff. So so David Campbell over here on Clubhouse says, how do we follow Richard? Richard, I don't know if you can jump back into that Clubhouse room, but if you want to just jump into the audience there, that way they can follow you on there, or they can follow you at RageWorks. Did I put that right on the screen for Instagram?
Yeah. So I'll give you the short version. RageWorks is everywhere. Pinterest, the works, no pun intended. So you could find us anywhere pretty much. I manage most of the accounts. Some of our folks help me out with that. But, you know, Rageworks or Rageworks Podcast Network, if you're on Instagram, because we're trying to just have that stuff more localized for the podcasting space. You could find me on LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. I gatekeep nothing. Ask whatever questions you want. And that's, like I said, that's the name of the game, just leaving the space better than when I got into it in 2006, because that's what it is. Everybody thinks, oh, I'm not going to tell them my secret because they're going to take all of my money. You know, it's like Gollum from Lord of the Rings. And I'm like, listen, man, your idea is not original. You know, like, there's very few original ideas. Like, I, you know, all jokes aside, I'm going to do a podcast about podcasting. So are there 75,000 other ones? What makes it different? You? Okay, what makes you different? Oh, my hair's blonde versus this guy whose hair is brown. Oh, what else makes you different? Oh, I'm a person of color. Awesome. Now you're a person of color with blonde hair that's going to do podcasting. Let's run with it. And that's what I mean. Like, I think that people, they stick to those different things, or more importantly, they don't understand that the end game is always you, the host. The information is clutch. The entertainment value is clutch, but it's you. I got an email once from a guy in England who said he loves listening to my podcast because of the way I say the F word. Legit. He goes, man, when you say the F word, we just laugh over here, because, you know, it's like, man, that's that New York American, you know, F bomb. Like, and that was it. You know, there's a lady that I remember. She was like, you know, you talked about something once on your podcast. I was having a really tough time in that, and I appreciate that you shared that with me. Always remember the 30 minutes of attention someone is giving you, your podcast, your TikTok, whatever. You're giving that person something: entertainment, education. They might be in a rough patch. You might be their friend on the commute. You might be their friend that helps them get through that divorce. Or you might be that person who helps them mourn that loved one that passed away because you decided to share how you felt when your loved one passed away. Podcast humanly. Be a human. Don't be a salesman, but be a human first. And then everything else will literally fall into place.
Love it, man. Love it. That's some good information. The chat over in Clubhouse, people are like, hey, thanks, so inspired. Thank you for the tips. Richard, we could talk for, you've been in it for 15 years. We could talk for 20 hours about podcasting and live streaming and all this fun, creative stuff. But want to wrap this episode up and just first of all say thank you for the friendship. You know, I know we met online, haven't met in person, but I know we've always been in the same rooms and kind of vibe the same and think the same when it comes to content creation. And it's get out there and do it and then figure it out on the way and you know, make adjustments and don't get married to yourself or your ideas. So
you're one of the good ones, Billy. You're literally one of the good ones. I joined Clubhouse, I saw you in there, and I said, Billy knows what the deal is. And like I said, you're not, yeah, you got to sell stuff, and that's your job, because you got to pay the bills. I hate when people say like, oh, don't sell me. How are you going to enjoy my content if I don't got the lights on to power the mixer to record the podcast that you enjoy?
Yeah, that's right, man.
You know, and then you're an A-plus dude, man. And I'm glad to have met you through this platform. And I'm glad that you're doing so much for this platform, man. Just keep being a bomb ass human.
Yeah, man. Well, dude, I appreciate you, bro. And I know we'll do some more stuff together, especially after this episode. This is the most feedback I've gotten from an episode live. Of course, I don't really go to Clubhouse Live that much, but we'll definitely bring you back on and do some more stuff. So, man, high five long distance, Richard. Thank you so much for being on. You guys go. Make sure you follow Richard. Chase him around the internet. Rageworks, it's everywhere. And you can follow him. Buy him a cup of coffee or whatever way he has for you to connect with him. Ask for his Venmo account. Send him some money if he's inspired you, because that is the thing that you want as a creator. So that's the thing that you need to give as a creator. And this is why I tell a lot of creators out there, when they go, well, how do I grow my buy me a coffee? Go buy people coffee, because what you're doing is building the culture of, hey, we want to reward creators for you know, taking time out of their day to inspire us to do all those fun things or whatnot. So really appreciate him being on, man. It's always fun to be in the same space as him, either in Clubhouse or now on the show, and we'll definitely have him back on. But be sure to join me next week. I'm going to be back. We go Tuesday, Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern time. If you're on Clubhouse and you liked this show in this format, be sure to let me know. Give me a little thumbs up in the chat. I am cautious not to do it on Clubhouse, but give me a little thumbs up there in the chat, and I may start streaming to Clubhouse again. If you liked it, I know some people don't. They want to come on stage. They want to talk. They want to be a part of the conversation. They want to be social on social audio, which I totally get it. But if you liked it and you want more of it, give us a little thumbs up. And join me next week. We go live Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Next Tuesday, I'm going to have Kendra Swalls on talking about email marketing. How do you build genuine connections with email marketing? And you heard Richard talk about it. If you don't have email, you're crazy. If you don't have a system there, you're crazy. So she's going to talk to us about it. And how do we get this thing set up and have that be a part of our system, our connection with our audience, and all that kind of fun stuff. And I see Richard did jump into Clubhouse. He is right beside me here on the stage. So feel free to tap into his profile, connect with him on Instagram, on Clubhouse, all those places. And until next time, go hit the record button, go create something great. And we're going to hang out. I'm going to hang out on Clubhouse for a few more moments for a little after show here if anybody wants to raise their hand and come up. But until then, we'll talk to you next week, Tuesday, 4 p.m. All right, man. All right, Richard, you still with me here? Let's see. Let me unmute you. What's up?
Yeah, dude? I'm here.
Awesome, man. That was a great show, man. I really appreciate you being on. We're still live over here on Clubhouse, so if anybody wants to jump on, feel free. You can do that as well. Get a lot of thumbs up, so I guess I'm going to start multi-streaming to Clubhouse.
It's a great platform.
Dude, I'm gonna mute you on... I'm going to mute you on Ecamm. That way you can talk through Clubhouse there if you want to unmute that way.
Yeah, that's fine.
Since we're not going live over there. So, yeah, man, it was awesome, dude. Really appreciate you being on and dropping some great tips. And it seems like everybody in the audience enjoyed it. Just want to shout out Monty and Raphael and David and Dominic and Jay. I see Jay down there. Thanks for asking some questions. But cool, man. Well, I'm going to close this Clubhouse room. I didn't see anybody raise their hands. I thought maybe they would participate in the after party. They're just here for the entertainment, man. That's it.
Happy to help that along.
Yeah, man, it was awesome. So I'm going to close this Clubhouse room. And you guys have a great day. We'll talk to you soon. All right, let me end.